If you have your Bibles, Exodus chapter 20. We've been going through the Ten Commandments, as was given to Moses by God, Mount Sinai. We've looked at the first two commandments. But let us now look at commandment number three. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, it says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." Now, the word here for misuse, the word here for name, and the word here to bear in sharing of the name, we see that there's a couple different thoughts that are shared here in the original Hebrew. See, the idea of the name of the Lord your God is not just his literal name, but his reputation, his fame, his designation. And the idea of misuse isn't just something that is something verbally said, but to misuse means to make empty, to make it vain, false, worthless in conduct, a nothingness. See, when God had given the Ten Commandments to Moses, and the third one he was going over with Moses, God did not have in mind here in verse 7 that the misuse of his name would be something that was just verbal communication only. See, God didn't want his reputation misused. He didn't want it misused in people's words, in their deeds, or even in their thoughts. God did not want to become something that was seen by the world as a nothingness or a worthlessness. And why is that? Well, as we have just sang, you've done great things. Why is that? Because God is Adonai. He is master. God is El Shaddai, the Almighty. He is El Roi, the All-Seeing. Elyon, the Most High. God has done great things because God is the greatest of, well, I guess that's the thing. God is just simply the greatest. There is nothing that can compare to God. Therefore, he did not want his people to misuse him. Now we're here to partake of the supper instituted by his son. And when we think about the misuse of the name of God, this was something that the early church struggled with, especially those at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 27, it follows, "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, in a manner that makes us empty, in a manner that makes us worthless, a misuse, vanity, whoever does so will be guilty of the sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves, therefore, before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment upon themselves. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world." See, Paul is telling the Christians at Corinth, establishing a biblical principle that was established thousands of years ago, not to misuse God. Paul is telling those Christians at Corinth to examine themselves so that when they partake of the act of communion, they do not treat it vainly. They do not treat the sacrifice of Christ as something worthless, when the sacrifice of Christ is the ultimate saving event in history. See, Paul reminds them that some of them that are sick and asleep are because of the lack of examination, the fact they are misusing this time of communion. And the words here aren't just spiritual, mental, or emotional, or symbolic, but the words for being sick, for being weak, and falling asleep are literal. It can be translated that there were those, because of their misuse of the Lord's Supper, were literally dying because they didn't take the time to examine and instead misused God and the sacrifice of his son. In fact, we see that biblical principle established with Israel many times. When they were irreverent to the Lord their God, they were punished. They had pestilence, they had sickness, and they have death. So when we come here together, we're coming to remember the greatest sacrifice, the thing that gives us worth, that gives us righteousness, that makes us holy, that sanctifies us, that redeems us. Let us not be vain in thought or behavior, but remember the purpose, the prestige, and the prominence that this sacrifice is. This is the sacrifice of the Master, the Almighty, the All-Seeing, the Most High, the Omniscient, the Omnipresent, the greatest of all, God. Let us never forget that. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day, and as we come to remember through your Son the sacrifice, let us not be misusing this. Let us not treat it as worthless. Let us not be vain. But let us remember that this is where we were redeemed in the contact of the blood that was spilt on the cross, that we have the opportunity, Father God, to be children, to partake in the ownership, to be family, to be joint heirs, to have a home in heaven, to be before the throne in the grace of you, Father God. We pray that we never take this for granted, that we don't treat this as worthless, that we remember that you are great and almighty, and your Son has redeemed us. So let us examine ourselves, Lord God, at this time, and prepare our hearts to be open to what your Son has done for us. We praise you and we thank you through Christ Jesus. Amen.